You would, please, to Esther chapter 2. Esther is right after Nehemiah, right before the book of Job. And we've been looking here. We got up to verse 12 last week. And last week we looked at how the keeper of the women, Hegai, the chamberlain, was his title, how Esther found favor in his sight. And he really took care of her. And then, now it's come to the time where each maid has to go before the king. It says in verse 12, "Now when every maid's turn was come to go into the king Ahasuerus, after that she had been 12 months, according to the manner of the women, for so were the days of their purifications accomplished, to wit, 6 months with oil of myrrh, and 6 months with sweet odors, and with other things for the purifying of the women. Then thus came every maiden unto the king. Whatsoever she desired was given her to go with her out of the house of the women unto the king's house. In the evening she went, and on the morrow she returned into the second house of the women to the custody of Shazgaz, the king's chamberlain, which kept the concubines. She came in unto the king no more, except the king delighted in her, and that she were called by name." Now, in this passage, we find that Esther pleased the king when she appeared before him. I thought it was interesting that this was a 12-month process before they ever were presented to the king, before they ever presented themselves as candidates, if you will, to replace Vashti. They had to go through a 12-month purification process. Each girl was given her request before leaving to go see the king. And she would go in the evening. She would come in the evening and go back in the morning to the house where the women were kept. She would not be permitted to come unto the king from then on unless he delighted in her and called for her by name. I'm glad that society doesn't do things like this. Well, they may in some Middle Eastern countries. I don't know. But I wanted to apply this in a spiritual way, if I could, because I think there is some application to be made here in the spiritual realm. I thought it was interesting that they took great care that these women were fully clean, purified, before they ever went in to present themselves before the king. And they went to great lengths to see that this was done. And I thought about that. You know, we're pretty sinful. Paul the Apostle said, "O wretched man that I am." He called himself the chief of sinners. Self-righteousness has no place in genuine Christianity, because we all still have an Adamic nature that we have to deal with and crucify, mortify, put to death our desires, our will, in order to do God's will. That's a work that God has given to us to apply the Word of God by the leadership of the Spirit of God. But I thought, how often do we really prepare ourselves for communion with God, to come into the presence of the King? You know, I think we ought to confess our sins. The Bible states if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Implying that we still have a sinful nature. We need to be sensitive to the fact that we sin against God, and we ought to confess our sins before Him as we approach our King in prayer and communion. And certainly, He's far more important than any heathen king. A clean heart is a sure way to gain a hearing ear from our sovereign King. I believe that God delights to grant us our requests and to show Himself strong on our behalf. And realize this. God, our King, doesn't need us. He can accomplish whatever He wills. He is all powerful. But He is pleased to use His people and to bless them and encourage them. And prayer is not for God, it's for us. He delights to grant us our requests. There's a passage that I think shows the vital connection between heart purity and gaining a hearing ear with God in prayer. You know where it is? In Psalm 66. You've probably heard me quote it several times. I usually only quote verse 18, but I want to show you the connection here. In Psalm 66, and look what the psalmist says. Verse 17. I cried unto Him with my mouth, and He was extolled with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But verily, God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor His mercy from me. David saw the importance, the connection between confession and repentance and realizing God would hear his prayers. And verse 20 tells me that God is so gracious to remember mercy. Because I often think about me when I pray and when I confess sins that I've committed. Not once, not twice. And yet God is so gracious, so merciful. When I'm so unworthy, yet He gives me a hearing ear. And I don't think we realize how important getting our heart right when we go to God in prayer really is. Then I thought about this heathen king. He could only see, he could only commune with one woman at a time. They were sent one at a time. Then I think about our King. He is infinite and powerful and boundless. He delights in and communes with all His people. He knows every single one of us by name and loves each one with an everlasting love. How amazing is that? That if every one of us were to bow our unworthy heads right now and silently pray what was on our hearts, God would have no trouble whatsoever in hearing every single one of us in this room. Without us even saying a word, just the thoughts of our heart, the meditation of our heart. That's amazing to me in just a little room like this, this little auditorium. What about the saints of God throughout all the world that are lifting up their voices to the King right now? He hears them all. This is the greatness of our God. What a glorious person God must be to attend to the prayers of the saints of God throughout the world, yet never growing weary with our requests, with our failures, because He is ready to forgive. You see, God's not like men. God is ever merciful and gracious. Now, to get back to the text here, since Haggai was the one in authority, when Esther was in his custody, she listened to what he said. I think that's pretty important. She did not request anything from the king but what Haggai told her. She did not ask for anything of this heathen king or to present herself before him. She wanted only her beauty, modesty, and virtue to recommend her to the king. She did not ask for any ornamentation or anything to make her glamorous. She went before the king as she was after 12 months of purification. And you got to remember, this is not as Esther's first choice. This was all done by constraint. And the king delighted in Esther and loved her above all the others. It says in verse 15, "Now when the turn of Esther, the daughter of Abihail, the uncle of Mordecai, who had taken her for his daughter, was come to go unto the king, she required nothing but what Haggai, the king's chamberlain, the keeper of the women, appointed. And Esther obtained favor in the sight of all them that looked upon her. So Esther was taken unto King Ahasuerus into his house royal in the 10th month, which is the month Tebeth, in the 7th year of his reign. And the king loved Esther above all women. And she obtained grace and favor in his sight more than all the virgins, so that he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti." This is an amazing account in the providence of God. What set Esther apart from all the other women was God. God's providence. the spirit, the attitude, the character that God had worked in Esther, in her heart, was displaying itself in the way she acted, in her attitude, in the way that she presented herself. He saw her full of grace. She wasn't trying to promote herself. She wasn't trying to be glamorous, and she didn't try to decorate herself with all kinds of jewels and necklaces. No, she asked nothing. She just went before the king. And I think this is an amazing, amazing how God works out things that are so... He brings it to pass contrary to what men would think. See, you would think that the king would be looking for something else than just a Jewish girl with no ornaments, no jewelry, nothing to make herself stand out except for her modesty, her virtue, and her attitude. This is God was working to change the heart, the mind of the king. The king delighted in Esther and loved her above all the other young women. And this was the first time they had ever met. And he determined right then that she was the one. How did he, out of all the women that he had seen, how was it that he determined that she was the one? Again, it's God. It's God working, God moving. Nothing happens by accident. Nothing happens by chance. This was by divine appointment. And he exalted her as queen. She was not sent back to the house of the women, but was kept in the palace. Now, to apply this spiritually, it truly is a glorious thing to know that we're loved by our King and that we've been exalted out of the dunghill of our and the stench of our own sinful ways. It's in Samuel. I think it's in 1 Samuel chapter 2, where it talks about being lifted out of the dung heap, out of the refuse pile. See, unlike Esther, who was a woman of beauty, there was nothing in us that God should love us or favor us. She was a woman of unsurpassed beauty, which God used to catch the attention of the king. In contrast, God's elect prior to salvation are most repulsive, abominable, and unacceptable to God in their natural state. They're a stench. We were a stench in His nostrils. We were unclean. We were defiled. We weren't purified in any way. Rather, we were dirty and filthy and smelly and wicked. Everything to repulse God is what we were in our sins. You see, there is nothing in any of us that would attract the loving favor of our God. But He simply loved us, chose us in Christ, called us to Himself according to His own sovereign pleasure and purpose, and what boundless love our Lord has displayed. That He would take such unworthy sinners unto Himself. Well, next week we'll get on to verse 18 and probably finish the chapter. about the feast that the king prepared in honor of Esther. And it's going to start getting really good here pretty soon. I love how this book plays out. All right. We're dismissed.